one of my most frequent told family story in my family is something called the chocolate milk story. When I was five, the girl sitting next to me in school had a request. She could not open a can of chocolate milk, so she asked me for help. Take a look. Well, you know, that was a long time ago. So in our generation, you probably, I can't even find the real one, so that is the closest I can Google that, okay? So before I took the can, I thought, hey, that's an easy job, right? But after I received the can and tried to open it, I just realized that I have never opened a chocolate milk in my life. Oh. After a few unsuccessful attempts, I gave this can back to her. This was disappointing, you can imagine, right? But the worst is yet to come. The girl turned to another boy and asked him for help. And guess what happened? Within not even 5 seconds, 3 seconds maybe, the can was open. And I was watching her drinking the chocolate milk. My heart was breaking, you know. Even I was only five. I remember that was the breaking feeling. I felt like I'm a failure. I felt like I am not as good as the other boy in the class. So that was my chocolate milk story, and my family liked to listen to it once a while when I was only 5 years old. And for some reason, this story came back once a while for different reasons. Whenever this story pops up, it reminds me one thing. Gabriel Chan is not as good as the other boy. That feeling, when it came, it hurts. Sometimes it even prevents me from trying new things or taking up new challenges. And what about you? Do you have your version of chocolate milk story? Perhaps a harsh word from your parents long, long time ago, or perhaps a brutal comment from your very good friend. Maybe it was not as positive experience. When new opportunity comes, when we are called to rise to the challenge, how often would we say, nah, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I am not ready. And how often are we haunted by our past experience? 5, 10, or even 20, if you are older than 20, years ago. And how often do we choose to reject, to refuse, and push back, just like those people in the photo? We are starting a new series called Not Me, a very easy remember. For the next 4 weeks, we'll be exploring how God grappled with one of the most reluctant leaders in the whole Bible. When opportunity comes, when the needs are pressing, when the master is calling him to step up, what we hear from him is, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I am ready. Here am I, Lord, but please, please send somebody else, not me. So this is the person we will be exploring tonight and the next 3 weeks. His name is Moses, who was supposed to be the greatest leader, right, in the whole Bible. He led the Israelites, leaving Egypt, go through Red Sea, and also go through 40 years of wilderness. He did a lot of great things. But on the other hand, he was actually one of the most reluctant leaders in the Bible. Do you believe that? Let's take a look at the beginning of his life map, the life map of Moses. When the Israelites were getting more and more populated in Egypt, you know, remember all the Kapos story? They had become a threat for the Egyptians. And Pharaoh, which is the king at the time, commanded that all Jewish boys to be killed. So that was something, it's a very dangerous situation. And at this time, Moses was born. He was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. But you can imagine, after 3 months, he's getting bigger and bigger. This baby, you know, cried louder and louder. So the parents knew that it was impossible to hide him. So they put the child in the basket and place it among the reeds by the riverbank. You probably heard this story many times already. And by God's protection, at the same moment, thank God, you know, I don't know how many baby was like that, but at least for this baby, the daughter of Pharaoh, which is the princess at the time, came down to the river and found the basket and the baby Moses. And eventually, she adopted him and brought him up in the palace as her own son. So you can see that Moses' life was a little bit twist and different. And as Moses grew up, he was instructed, not just the Hebrew way, but actually in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in his word and deed. So he is pretty well educated in our standard too. And when Moses was 40 years old, so time flies, so if, 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brothers, his fellow Israelites. So now he's the prince of Egypt, as we all know. And then now, but he has something in mind. He wants to go back to see his fellow Israelite. And seeing one of the Israelites being wrong, Moses defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. Wow, this is kind of violence going on. And Moses supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. So Moses had made an assumption that, hey, people, you know, my people would thank me for what I did. He thought that he is being used by God, an instrument of God for saving his own people. But unfortunately, it was only a misjudgment. So nothing happened, you know, nothing, no one thanked him at all. And on the following day, Moses appeared to them as they were quarreling. Moses tried to reconcile them and saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside and saying, who make you a ruler or a judge over us? Do you not want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Uh-oh, seems like what happened the other day was not hidden. People seem to know what happened about Moses. So instead of showing any appreciation, the people was threatening Moses about what he did. And Moses knew that he would be dead if Pharaoh knew what happened. So after this incident, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, which is quite far away from where he used to live. And at Midian, Moses eventually got married and had kids, and he settled down. Okay, so the first 40 years, it was interesting, but the best is yet to come. So now when 40 years has passed, so you can see that timeline from 40 became 80 now, an angel appeared to Moses in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. For 4 decades, can you believe that? For 4 decades, from 40 to 80, Moses did not return to Egypt at all. He lived in the wilderness. He was no longer the prince of Egypt at all. And in the wilderness, the clock seems to stop ticking. 40 years of wilderness living has totally changed this prince of Egypt. At the age of 80 years old, Moses encountered the Almighty Living God at the burning bush. You can see that burning bush there. And God gave Moses an invitation. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard the cry, and because of their taskmaster, I know their suffering. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, we've seen a lot of, in the Bible, a lot of people, when God called them, they will respond positively. But Moses' reaction, as we are going to take a look, is quite the opposite. For five times, can you believe that? Five times, we'll be going through that one by one, Moses pushed back. For five times, Moses, even though he is, you know, in the burning bush, right? He's seeing God face to face, but he declined God's invitation. Let's take a look at the first pushback. After God told him about his mission, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses did not forget what happened 40 years ago. When he tried to defend his fellow Israelites, no one among the Israel people thanked him or showed any appreciation. But what made Moses even more frustrated is that the fact that God did not intervene, right? You know, remember, you know what happened 40 years ago? God did not show up or do anything. And look at what happened now. "God, why are you calling me now? I'm no longer the prince of Egypt. I'm just an ordinary or even miserable shepherd at the desert. I don't think I deserve to be called by you." So that's the first pushback. And then, let's take a look, move on to verse 13. Moses then asked God again, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" So Moses is kind of asking God, "Hey, give me more information." You know, he wants to know more. You know, what should he say? And then God replied to Moses a second time. God is pretty patient, right? God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is a very important name of God. And say this to the people of Israel: "I am has sent me to you." And in addition, God also gave Moses a very detailed script. I think this is a pretty good, God is pretty good to him. Almost line by line about what to say. I wish, you know, if I prepare this message, you know, God give me the script, you know, already. Wow, that would be cool, you know. Actually, God is blessing him. And God said to Moses, "So say this to the people of Israel: 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has sent me to you. And go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. The Lord also promised that he will bring his people out of the affliction of Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey. And the Lord also promised that the elders of Israel will listen to Moses' voice." As you remember, you know, there's a lot of elders, and usually, you know, they will give different opinion. But God said, "Well, they will listen to you." And Moses and the elders will go to the king and then say to him, "The Lord, the God of Hebrew, has met with us. And now please let us go a three-day journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." As you can see, God did not just give Moses an invitation and then let him do his own thing. God gave a very detailed script about what Moses is going to say to the elders, to the people, to the king. For normal people like most of us, I'm sure when you receive such a important invitation from God, right, not just from anyone else, when God gave you even the script about what to say, I'm sure you will respond and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to help. You know, count me in," right? But Moses was very different. Moses was a person full of, you can feel that in between the lines, bitterness. He was disappointed about what happened 40 years ago, about men, or even about God. So we notice that there was a pushback number three in first verse of chapter 4. So you can feel that, wow, you know, Moses is pretty different and reluctant. After God gave him a very detailed script to follow, Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Well, God promised Moses that the elders of Israel will listen to him. Well, God promised already, right? We just heard that. Moses told God the opposite way. "Well, they will not believe in me. No way. They won't do it." Then God replied Moses a third time as, "Okay, well, you're worried about no one trusts you, right? Okay, let me give you three signs." So God gave him three supernatural signs. The first sign was that the rod turning into a serpent. The second sign was that his hand become leprous, you know, this with the leper, right? And the third sign that the water turning to blood. Well, those are pretty supernatural stuff, right? And with these three signs, no one will surely doubt your authority. Yeah, Moses is from God, right? And while we think that, well, Moses would have no further question. Wow, with all these things, right? Wait, Moses keep pushing back and decline God the fourth time. The fourth time. You can see all the little icon there, so you can keep track. This is the fourth one. Moses told God in Exodus 4:10, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." I'm not sure whether this is real. You know, he was taught by the Egyptian, right? I'm sure he will give speeches, you know, just like all the nobles. But now he's giving another reason, number four, right? So God responded to Moses for the fourth time. "Who has made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, God? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Well, God was patient enough and promised Moses, "I'll empower you. I'll be your mouth. Don't worry about what to say. I'll teach you what to speak." Well, today we are talking one of the most reluctant leaders or servant in the Bible, right? So as we read on, can you imagine that Moses can have another pushback, the fifth one? But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." After all these reasons, Moses simply told God, you know, "Just send someone else. No, don't send me, not me." Okay, so this is why we called our series "Not Me," because of this five different pushing back. And at that moment, you can imagine, you know, God probably getting not as patient as before, right? So anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And you expect, uh-oh, what happened? Would Moses get killed? Well, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levites? I know that he can speak well. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I'll be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do." Well, in a nutshell, is that I will help you. Don't worry about, you know, preparing your speech. I'll give you what to say. "And then he shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him." Okay. Sorry, there's no number six. Only five pushing back. After all this dialogue, all this conversation, right? This is a pretty long conversation, right? Can you imagine, you know, going back and forth from the first one all the way to this number five? Finally, Moses took his wife and his son, he bought a ticket, and then he went back to the land of Egypt. Okay, we all heard about this story, maybe from Kapos or from other sources. So what can we learn from this story? What can we learn from Moses, one of the most reluctant servants in the Bible? Let me give you three lessons. Number one, God empowers and provides for his servant. God empowers and provides for his servant. Even though Moses had refused God five times, God still tolerated him. God kept on sending promises to Moses, right? God revealed his name to Moses, I am who I am. God gave Moses the script about what to say to the people and to the Pharaoh. God empowered Moses with divine authority. He gave him three supernatural signs. God gave gift and power to Moses. In response to his lack of eloquence, God empowered him with the gift of speech. God provided partner for Moses, his brother, to be his helper. So you can see, wow, this is a long list. You know, God give him one after another good stuff. And besides all these, the most significant promise from God during that conversation is from Exodus 3:12. God said, I will be with you. I myself will be with you. It is God himself who will lead Israel, not Moses, out of Egypt. So here we can learn something is that when God calls a person, he won't just give you an idea, then let you figure out the rest, the 99%. God is more than willing to give you everything you need, your ideas, your everything, to complete his task. God empowers and God provides. And this is God's promise to Moses and also to us today. Number two, the heart of God's calling, which is also our center, you know, of this series, we want to explore what is God's calling. The heart of God's calling is not about you. It's not about Moses, for sure. It's not about us as well. In the story we just read, while God was more than willing to empower the one he called, Moses kept on pushing back. We all know about that, right? He told God, asked God, who am I? He complained to God that no one would believe in me. He told God, I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech. And then Moses said, not me, send someone else. We have gone through it already, right? From Moses' multiple pushing back, what do we see? What do we actually see? I think we see human nature. Human nature, including all of us. When God called Moses to finish his task, all Moses was thinking or mentioning or talking was about his own self, his limitation, his need, his situation. Moses has made it all about himself. All he was asking or telling God is, who am I? What shall I say to them? They will not believe in me. They will not listen to me. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. And send someone else. Not me, right? But the heart of God's calling is not about you. God said, it's about me. The I am. This is the I am who is calling you, Moses. If we today only focus on ourselves, we would neglect the most crucial component of God's calling. As we look back, as God called Moses, before God sent him, before God tell him, you know, his mission, before God giving him all the promises, God actually revealed his whole heart to Moses. God said, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard the cry. I know their suffering. I have come down to deliver them. I'll bring them out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses, it is not about you. The heart of God calling is about me, the big I am. The big I am. Third lesson, God is inviting you to step on stage. Have you ever wondered, you know, if for number two we just said, right, if the heart of God's calling is not about, it's about God, right, not about Moses or about us, right, then why did God bother, you know, to invite Moses? God can do his own thing, you know, his own way, send maybe angels doing that. Maybe, right? the reason behind all this conversation, you know, what God has been doing in this book of Exodus is because God wanted Moses to have a part in his salvation project. God wanted Moses to play a part in his salvation drama. You can see that the whole book of Exodus is not just this chapter, it's a lot more, right? So God is saving his people, God is bringing changes and liberating people. And why does God call us today? For sure it's not because we are irreplaceable. God really wants you and I to have a part in his whole project of salvation. God wants you and I to be included. And God is inviting you and I to step up and get on stage to have a part in the story of his creation. Thinking back the chocolate milk story, how many of us has been haunted by the past failure and you were hesitant to respond to God's invitation? If you only focus on your own self, you will miss out God's reason for seeking you. And today, God still sees suffering around us, right? God hears the cry of our neighbors. He knows their suffering. He came down and delivered. And God will lead them out of darkness into the light. And God calls you and me, not because of our strength, but because he wants you to have a part. God insisted that to let you to play a part on this stage called his salvation drama. So in this year, 2023, God is still calling you today to play a part in building his kingdom on his own stage in Metro Vancouver at Richmond, right here. And how would you respond to his invitation? God is the director. God is the one who is inviting you to step up to his stage, to take up his strip, and also to play the role that he has prepared for you. So how would you respond to his invitation? I'll give us a time of reflection, maybe half a minute, and then I'll ask everyone to stand later to have a prayer. So let's quiet down for a few moments and reflect. Let's stand together and pray. Dear God, we declare that you are the God who calls. You are the God who sent. So in this evening, help us, God, to overcome our fears. God, help us to overcome our limitation. Instead of saying, not me, we pray for courage this evening so that we can say to you, yes, send me, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.